Great God, you are our mother hen who keeps us safely under your wing, protecting and guiding us. I ask that you take these words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Well, today we find Jesus on his way, his face is set towards Jerusalem. And the city is dear to him, but it's also a place of sorrow. You know, it's a place where prophets are rejected and where he himself will be betrayed, will be abandoned, and ultimately will be crucified. And Jerusalem is a place that represents both the center of religious devotion and the heart of resistance against God's messengers. But Jesus presses on, unwavering in his mission, despite the warnings of these Pharisees. And what about these Pharisees? You know, we often think of the Pharisees as opponents of Jesus. But in this passage, some might see them to be warning him, you know, saying, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Maybe they were truly concerned, or maybe, just maybe they were trying to instill fear in him on behalf of Herod. But it's hard to say. You know, maybe like Nicodemus, some Pharisees genuinely wrestled with Jesus' message, and they saw something in him worth protecting. Or maybe they were trying to push him away, using fear as a weapon to silence him. But of course, Jesus refuses to be intimidated. He calls Herod a fox, a cunning and destructive predator, a ruler who seeks power over people rather than their welfare. But Jesus knows that his path leads inevitably to the cross, but he won't run from it. He won't back down from speaking truth to power, from bringing God's justice and mercy into a world that resists him at every turn. But this is good trouble that Jesus stirs up. Holy trouble. Righteous disruption. And ever since the Transfiguration, Jesus has been walking towards Jerusalem. And he knows what awaits him. But along the way, he upends the status quo. He flips tables in the temple. He confronts hypocrisy. He speaks words of life and liberation that shake the powerful to their core. He's a threat to their grip on control. Not because he seeks political power, but because he represents a different kind of kingdom. A kingdom of God's justice and love. Jesus' defiance isn't reckless. It's faithful. Jesus is steadfast because, well, he knows that God's purposes will prevail. And he's driven, not by fear, but by love. This kind of love that longs to gather the lost, that longs to gather the broken, that longs to gather the rejected, and all under the sheltering wings of God. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he laments, "how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." What a powerful image. A mother hen shielding her chicks from danger, standing firm against the fox. And this is Jesus. Fierce in his compassion, fearless in his pursuit of God's will, relentless in his love for those who reject him. And this is our God. A God who does not abandon us, even when we turn away. And this image of God's sheltering love, well, it isn't new. You know, we see it in the Old Testament as well. In our Genesis reading, Abram was afraid, and he questioned God's promise because he had no child, and he didn't see how things would work out. But God reassured him. He said, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. And then God made a covenant with them. And it was symbolized by this flaming torch and smoking fire pot. It was a sign that God's promises would be fulfilled. And similarly in Psalm 27, the psalmist echoes this trust. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The psalmist, like Abram, faced uncertainty and opposition. But he chose to place his confidence in God's shelter and faithfulness. For in the day of trouble, O God, you shall keep me safe in your shelter. The psalm reminds us that God does not abandon his people, even in times of fear and difficulty. And this is our calling as followers of Christ. Look at the world today. It still operates like Herod's world. Power is still abused. Injustice still reigns. And truth, it's often silenced or bent or fabricated. But like Jesus, we are called to bring good trouble. We are called to bring good trouble to challenge the forces that deny God's justice. And we are called to stand firm, even when the world tells us to be quiet, to back down, or to go along with the status quo. But look at St. Paul's letter. You know, it echoes that exact same message in our second reading. He reminds the Philippians that their true citizenship is in heaven. And he warns them against those who live as enemies of the cross, those whose minds are set on earthly things. And Paul himself faced imprisonment, persecution, and hardship because he followed Jesus' example. But like Jesus, he didn't waver, and neither should we. Throughout history, faithful disciples have followed this path. Look at Martin Luther. He took a stand against the corruption of the church. He risked everything for the sake of the gospel. Look at Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He resisted the evils of Nazi Germany, even when it cost him his own life. And more recently, look at U.S. Representative John Lewis. He worked tirelessly for social justice and civil rights. He was one of the 13 original Freedom Riders. These were people who rode interstate buses from Washington, D.C. to New Orleans, and they challenged policies that imposed segregated seating on buses. And today, countless people around the world continue to take up the call. They face opposition. They work for justice. And they work for peace. And they work for the dignity of all people. And this is what it means to follow Christ. And that's what Lent calls us to remember. Jesus knew that his time was short, so he lived every moment with purpose, with conviction, with a commitment to God's truth. And now it's our turn. We have only this one life to live as disciples. Will we waste it pretending that conflict will disappear if we just ignore it? Or will we, like Jesus, take up that good trouble that comes from following him? The world will try to silence us. It'll threaten, it'll manipulate, it'll discourage us. But it cannot take away what truly matters. Why? Because our lives belong to God. Sin and death don't have the last word. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has stripped them from their power. And so, like Jesus, we press on. We speak the truth. We challenge injustice. We love boldly. And we trust that in the end, God's justice and mercy will prevail. As we walk this path of faith, we're not alone. Like a mother hen, God gathers us under her wings, offering protection, offering love, and offering guidance. Even when we face resistance, when the forces of this world try to shake us, we're all safe in God's embrace. The foxes of the world may prowl, but they can't overpower that love of our Savior. And when we step out in faith, standing for truth and justice, we do so knowing that God's wings cover us. They shield us from fear, and they strengthen us for the work that lies ahead. Under God's wings, we are protected. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will rise. Amen.